Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The VC Show, let's go.
What's up, family? Welcome to the VC Show presented by Caesar Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter, alongside Roz Goldon Woody. Roz, what's going on? How you doing? Where you been? What's up?
Vince, what's up?
What's new?
I'm in Chicago right now covering the WNBA playoff semifinals. Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky. They got Jonquel Jones and the Connecticut Sun. It's going up. How are you?
For real. I'm good. You know, here, there, everywhere, working, you know. But, glad we were able to get back and talk some sports and talk some basketball. It's been a while, it seems like.
I know. I've missed you.
Especially just the two of us. I mean, because we've had guests, and we haven't really been able to chop it up like we do, you know.
Haven't had a chance to connect. Well, you ready to get it going today?
Well, let's go.
Well, you know, one team that people always, it's a hot button topic anytime, any season, any year, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. and this season's no different. Patrick Beverley, newest addition. But now the question is about chemistry. Can Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook get along and coexist? Now, according to the latest reports, apparently the two have already had a conversation. So, Vince, you know, with your player hat, what's that conversation got to look like between Patrick Beverley and Russ after years of feuding?
Well, I would say this. As soon as I saw Patrick Beverley traded to the Lakers, I was like, let me grab my popcorn and see where they're going with this. Because it's I think it's like for all of us, we know the history. We know what his addition will bring to the team. But the elephant in the room is what we're now asking about. Like, okay, but what happens with Russ or can they get along? So that conversation, I mean, literally has to be, you know, both players have to put their ego aside. Like, look, it's bigger than the two of us right now. It's about a championship that they both want. They both want to win. Russ has stated he wants to win a championship in LA because that's where he's from. Pat has definitely felt every time he's on a team, his team has a chance to get at least to the Western or to the conference finals. Well, this is a great opportunity and to possibly get into the finals and win it. So if they can put their differences aside for the betterment of the team, good things can happen. They can make noise. And of course, Roz, we know they have to stay healthy. Because let's think about some teams in the past where players did not get along and they were still able to go and win championships. Shaq and Kobe had their beef publicly, But when they stepped between the lines, they played for each other because it was about what was on the front of their jersey, not about, you know, their beef. And it was just, it was amazing to see. And, you know, and everybody usually tries to use that as like, hey, they can't get along, but we can make sure they get along. It takes a lot. It takes a special person to be able to put your beef aside for the bigger goal. And you say you want to win a championship, well, and you're willing to do whatever, that comes with it. So it seems like they've sat at the table and put it all on the table. We'll see.
You ever had a teammate like that where maybe you didn't necessarily see the eye to eye, perhaps you didn't even like them, but you respected them, but you went to work with them and went to war with them?
Not to that magnitude. I mean, it's just, you know, you have guys that you hang with and guys that you play ball with, and that's kind of really it. There's something like that, but there's not many people, teammates, that I did not get along with. I mean, just got some guys we just were different. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and it wasn't anything, any beef. Like, I never had like a beef with guys, my teammates, where we didn't get along and had to kind of put it aside. But, I mean, you have times where you do have those arguments where it's a week or two on the team. Like, you have those locker room arguments and whatever, you go back and forth and it gets heated where you're face to face and whatnot. So, you know, you step away and you get time for healing, if you would. And then game time comes. It's like, all right, he's my teammate and we're trying to have the most points at the end of this game, you know?
Right. How much do you feel Patrick Beverley changes the Lakers and what they can do, especially with his fit in Darvin Ham's system?
Well, toughness, obviously. He's fearless. He brings that defender, and he's gonna bring and he said it, and I mean, that's like Darvin is not afraid to not, and I don't want to use the word call out, but he's holding guys accountable. And Patrick has Pat Bev has definitely said that, hey, you know, if whoever, you know, LeBron is not in his position defensively, I'm going to say it. They don't have guys to say that, you know, and that could be the case and has probably been the case at sometimes where you don't want to say nothing to LeBron to ruffle his feathers. And that's not what Pat Bev is about. It's about the bigger picture and winning. And I like that. I like that. That's, yeah, superstars hold their teammates accountable. And sometimes it's not vice versa. Like it's you don't get that from another, from the teammate holding the superstar accountable all the time. And sometimes superstars want that. I'll say this, in my older years, you know, year 19, 20, 21, 22, or what, you know, coaches tend to say, hey, you know, I know you've been, you know, at the game, but I'm like, coach me. I'd rather you coach me when I'm wrong and tell me when I'm wrong than and tell me to get in my position or whatever the case may be, instead of not. If I'm messing up on the court, say it. Like, and I will say, well, Lloyd Pierce, you should get mad at me if I missed an assignment, offensively mess up a play or turnover. He'd look at me and be like, man, and we were about the same age, so he'd look at me and be like, come on, man. I was like, all right, I'm sorry. You know, but I appreciate that instead of just letting me go around and, yes, I will figure it out because I've been around the game. LeBron messes up, he will figure it out. But at the same time, it builds that chemistry you need in the playoffs. That's when all of this is the building and the building blocks for the playoffs, when you're on the road and your team is falling apart or your best player is having a rough night and you have a Patrick Beverley who's still going to hold you accountable on the offensive and defensive end, whether it's a bad shot or a missed assignment.
Yeah, I think a key for the Lakers, or like two key words, are going to be obviously health and then being egoless. I'll even throw another word besides egoless in there. I'll say vulnerability. Like, listening to you talk about how, like, Lloyd Pierce, you know, could come at you and hold you accountable, it's because you allow yourself to be vulnerable, to be coached, to be
recognized. It's going to hit a nerve, though.
Right. To be somebody who is obviously excellent, but willing to say, I'm not perfect, therefore I will listen. Another great word would be great listeners. And I don't know if that's who all of these
open-minded.
Guys have been. Open-minded, for sure.
I like that too, yeah.
I think, you know, they should travel. The Lakers on their staff, you know, should be paying extra attention, obviously, to all of their, like, physical trainers and sports medicine trainers and all that to keep the guys healthy. But the therapists, mental game coach, sports psychologists, like, should be on a heavy payroll, because that's an important part of bringing these superstar talents on the same page and making it work for one season. I agree. Yeah, like, you know, one thing for Russ, he's 33, and they're asking him to change his game. Like, can an old dog learn new tricks? It's an age-old question. So remember, we had Darvin Ham on our show, on the VC show, and he said he wanted Russ this season to be a more efficient and complete player that affects the games in multiple ways besides him having the ball in his hands all the time, especially wanting him to be a dog and go hard on defense and locked in as a defender. Do you believe that at 33, Russ can make this shift in his game?
I do believe it. And it's not even because of who he is. I believe it's the commitment that you claim and say that you want for the end goal. If you say you want a championship, win a championship, well, that's you now fitting into the role that your coach has that you may not like. Because I can tell you, once again, as I got older, my role changed. And I was willing to do whatever to one, be in the league, and two, to try to win as many games. Yes, I was on teams that didn't go as far and have these opportunities. But for Russ, if he can buy into that, the sky's the limit. Because Like Darvin said, they're still going to utilize who Russ is. Remember, like, we're talking like Russ can't get buckets and get to the basket and score. Yeah, but it's just now it's the sacrifice. If are you willing to sacrifice for your team to win? And that means kind of change your game sometimes. As you get older, as you have better players on your team, sometimes you have to sacrifice. Look at the Boston Celtics when they had KG, Paul, Ray, and all that talent. They had to, it was some sacrifice, but they also said, Paul Pierce, you are Paul Pierce, you're a guy. Miami Heat, they were able to sacrifice. Dwayne Wade took a step back. It's like, yo, you are LeBron James. And if I buy in, Chris Bosh is going to get his, you know, LeBron's going to get his, D-Wade, and they made it work. They figured it out and they made it work. And the first year wasn't so great for the Heat, but look at the second and third year. Look at what they did. And once they figured out what worked for their team, and you know, particularly that trio, you start putting guys that complement those that trio, the rest was history. And it was so tough to guard because not just the name on the back of the jersey, their willingness to be the right teammate, their willingness to buy in for winning, not stats. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, stats ended up working. They still ended up averaging crazy numbers. But when LeBron's a willing passer, when you go double LeBron, he gets off the ball to Dwayne Wade. He gets off the ball to Chris Bosh. And the same thing with D. Wade. So it was just, you can't play them one-on-one because they're so talented. You can't double because they're willing passers. If the Lakers can do that, look out. And they're already saying they're going to play through Anthony Davis. So if Anthony Davis can get back to top five, top 10, where he was some years ago, that's going to help because they said they're going to play. Because LeBron can take over when he wants. But one thing I have to say, Roz, in LeBron, it's easy to say now in the summer. It's easy to say. And what I mean by that is the marriage is great right now, but it's when it's tough. Like when some of your guys are struggling, are they still willing to play through AD as their superstar? Because remember, LeBron can take over when he wants.
Right.
And we always talked about him being the guy that was putting so much stress on his body, trying to do everything. So you have to empower and allow AD to go through his ups and downs, whether it's injuries, struggles, or whatever, and still be that superstar, which he knows how to be, but it's different being a superstar on a winning team.
No,
it's easy being a superstar on a losing team.
One thing you said that stood out and I always remember is like there's leadership via availability. So I would counter what you're saying or what I hear you saying here by it's really important that AD be available this year.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's yes. really important. Like beyond like, oh, clearly if he plays, they are a better team. It's important for him to be available. As a leader. And mm-hmm. But AD is still like prime age, you know, we're talking about guys who might be on the other side of 30, and maybe their style of play is changing with their age and their abilities. Yeah. I'm going to weave in WNBA here just because it's relevant in the topics that, you know, Sue Bird, and the Seattle Storm are playing right now in the semifinals. They just beat the number one seed, Las Vegas Aces. Sue Bird's 42 years old. Just had game one, 12 assists, zero turnovers. Incredible. Just became the all-time leader in assists for playoffs. Is already the all-time leader in assists regular season. So we're talking about the GOAT PG. But she's 42 and she's in her last and final season. And I had the chance to speak with her. And it makes me think about Russ. It makes me think about LeBron or even Pat Bev or perhaps you over the course of your career. She so eloquently put it. I asked Sue Bird about longevity, and to paraphrase a very beautiful answer from her, she said, it's about understanding that over the years, I'm not the same player I was before. I'm not the same player I was a year ago. I'm not the same player I was 5 or 10 years ago. The words she used were understanding and accepting that. And she said sometimes it even comes with the process of mourning that. Like mourning that a certain move you might have made in the past, you could have elevated and hit that pull up. Now you don't. But you understand, accept, and evolve from there. And she said that has been the key to longevity. And I was like, God damn, that was poetic. But so when I hear us talking about, is Russ able to understand, accept, perhaps mourn, and then evolve and still be effective and great and excellent? Is Pat Bev ready for that? Clearly LeBron does it every year. What was it like for you doing that?
I think Pat Bev is an easy one because he's willing to do whatever. It's not about, oh, I need to start. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I think he's an easy one. I think he's going to fit in and buy into he understands who's the go-to guy, what, and he's going to make sure, you know, that point guard mentality, make sure the guys who need to be, who need to have the ball, who need to be in position, who needs a little love. He's going to do that. Will Russ be willing to do whatever? His willingness to do whatever it takes to win the championship that he talked about, or give his team the chance to win. Because I mean, I think there's some other teams out there that are very capable and can give them a run for their money. But I think if they buy in, they're going to be tough to stop. And for me, that's what it was. I mean, once you started realizing, oh, okay, I can't just jump over around and through people. What's next? How can I still be effective? And I continue to work on my game. You know, people are like, wow, like, you know, when you couldn't jump over people, the three-point shot, you start shooting a three. The three was already there. I was already shooting a three. But that's not what you paid attention to. You wanted to see me continue to get to the basket. So I just continued to work on the shot. And once I became a role player, I really made sure the shot was efficient and automatic, because now you lose your touches. And I think we as go-to players and superstars, that's what we fear and are afraid of. Losing that go-to guy, touches, shoot when I want to type mentality. That, I mean, when you've had it for so many years, that's tough to let go. That's like letting go of your favorite doll or your favorite car or that whatever it is. And when it's time. And you're just like, nah, I just a little longer. And that's the fear. And that was kind of the fear at one point for me. But then I had that look in the mirror and I had that revelation like, okay, you don't want to let it go, but you say you want to stay in the league as long as possible and play as long as you want and have this longevity that you know, and you feel good and you still love the game. One of them has to go. You have to sacrifice something sacrifice one thing to get the other. And I have to sacrifice being the go-to guy to stay in the league as long as I wanted to. Still be productive. Still have the same mentality. And once I became a role player, sixth man coming off the bench, the first thing I said was like, how can I be that player in my new role? And that was the challenge. Some people are like, oh, you made that look easy. Well, it wasn't. Because as I was willing to do it, I mentally had to be willing to do it. Physically, pass. You know, you know, whatever. Mentally, being willing to do it in a game situation. It's easy in practice and preseason and even regular season for you know, beginning the year. But when it gets down to the nuts and bolts and when it starts mm-hmm. to count, that mentality, that dog kicks in. But how can you still be that dog, that player that you know that you can be with the, like you said, limited ability now or whatever, new role? That's the, it's the sacrifice. And that's the killer, Roz. I mean, it's just a reality. You know, you think sports, and you can relate to this, I think, we're out, particularly go-to guys and superstars, we're alphas. You have to be the alpha male on the court. Particularly, you know, I think of the guys that playing against MJ. You better step up and be the alpha or you will get eaten alive. Playing against Kobe, you better be an alpha and be able to fight back or they're going to eat you alive. So that's just our sport. You know, it's just the mentality and we want to win. And Russ has that alpha dog and he has some other ones with him. So how can you kind of level that out to still be that guy, but still do what's needed, what's best for your team? It's kind of that. That's the comic. It's tough. It's tough. And to not read it, because I also didn't have social media to worry about as much, particularly when I started. I mean, I guess when I started, it didn't matter. More so, the middle of my career, transitioning into the end of my career, which is now the boom of social media. I was already not really, I didn't have it to not, I mean, it was cool, like, oh, this new thing, but I didn't get caught up in what was being said because of, it wasn't a big deal to me because it's like, all right, this is a new thing, cool, I can not have it. Social media is a part of our world and it what makes the world go around right now. I mean, it's a gift and a curse, you know, it's just what it is. The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
What's it like to be a superstar and of your level, elite, legit superstar, and you've now evolved into the later years of your career, taking on that role, and there's younger guys who are younger and fresher, but they're not anywhere near as good. You're looking at them and you're like, you're not even half as good as me, but you're fresher and younger. In my prime, I'd have bust your tail. I'd have ate you up. I'm older now, but I see you. Like, what's that like where you're older and you know you're better than this younger dude, but he's younger and fresher, and it's just a matter of where you are in your career?
This is going to be a boring answer, but it's your willingness to do whatever and understand it. And sometimes we can't accept that. We struggle with accepting that, whether, like, it's one of the things, like, I know I'm better than you, but I'm older than you. And it's being on the right team that gives you the opportunity to coexist, because you can get the right coach that feels like, okay, this is my young gun, fresher, but I still have this OG who still can get it done and knows how. Empower him. Teach him the game and the ropes that you want them to coexist. And sometimes it just depends on where you are. Some organizations, like, we got this new thing. Let's go with that. Move on from that. So it's just, it's just a lot of variables that go into it. But it just takes, you have to sit back and kind of, you got to decide what's important to you. And, you know, everybody wants to, like, I mean, is it longevity? You want to play as long as possible because you love the game. We talked with Jamal. Jamal still had it. But we look at age sometime and we're like, he's 35, he's 37, he's 39, he's in his 40s. Somebody like Sue Bird, and you're thinking, they're old. They shouldn't be able to do this. Well, look at what Sue Bird's doing. Look at what LeBron's doing. You know, you start getting to 33. When I started to cut you off, you started getting to 33 in that 30s, and that's when they started using the word old. And, you know, and like we're talking about Russ at 33, and can he steal his body? But these guys put so much work in. And one thing I like about Russ, you don't often see, and this, I want to be careful about how I say this, because, you know, you say stuff and people take it the wrong way. he just goes about his business and works out in the lab, and you don't really see it. So you're like, you know, until you see him on the court and you just see Russ going hard. But like he clearly puts work in to still be 33 and go that hard. LeBron puts work in. We see him on social media, so you can see the evolution of what he does. We see some of it, not all of it, but it takes a lot for what these guys are doing, what Sue Bird is doing in her 40s, to still be where they are. So, I mean, I'd knock the performance more so than the age. If you're at that age, you're just not getting it done as the start go-to guy, then you kind of you make that decision. But just because a person hits 35, like, oh, they're 35. Oh, they're 37. I don't know. What does your eyes tell you sometimes? We go off of stats, the age, but what do your eyes tell you? What your eyes will tell you, you know, what you're seeing.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, from one superstar, a team of superstars, we go to another. And across the country, let's head to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. So all's well that ends well with Kevin Durant and the Nets. Was it much ado about nothing? You know, we've talked a lot about feelings. How should everybody feel stepping into the season for the Nets?
How should we feel? I don't know. I mean,
not us.
No. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, KD's a thinker. He's a thinker, yes. And I think we could agree to that. And I think he strategically does things, and you know he's aware. Like you've said it before. Like KD's watching. Billions of people out there. He's watching and listening. And, you know, I think sometimes he does get in his feeling and it's knee jerk sometimes. But at the same time, has a plan in mind by doing it. And I don't know if it was just to get the ball moving to move Kyrie. I don't know if it was get the ball moving to get the Nets to do something. I don't know. I think now, and I'm assuming that they've had a conversation now that everybody's like KD has said, I'm here. And everybody sat at the table and just like, okay, where do we go from here? Because to us, we all thinking like, man, after you say that, you know, like a relationship, like Rod's like, if we go back and forth, we say something like, can you put the past aside to move forward? Because now they need to get... You need to get the players in there to be the Brooklyn Nets that we think they can be with those two guys, well, those three guys, to win. Because you got to think, I'm going to ask you, Roz, if you're a free agent right now, and I'm talking about like a very good free agent that can help a team win, put them over the top. You're looking at some of the teams that are out there and the Brooklyn Nets. Do you consider the Brooklyn Nets yes, because of the names, but because of the rocky roads that we've talked about, we hear about, do you consider that? Or are you like, oh, man, they want me, Nets, I'm going. Or do you think about like, oh, man, at some point Kyrie, at some point Ben, at some point KD could do something. Like, yeah, like what? Like that's the thing for the Nets right now. You know, because it's all summer.
Right. To answer your question, I think – you know, especially if I'm an older player or if I'm a high-level player and I want to contend for a championship, it would have been hard up until this final point to make a decision to go to the Nets because you spent the whole summer not knowing who was going to be there. If I was a role player type of player, you know, I think maybe I'd be talking with my agent about trying to find a situation that had more stability. You know, stability helps for better rotations, helps for better understanding of where you are in the rotation, what kind of shots you're going to get, what your role is. You know, like I'm just looking at a situation where you didn't know the mental health and emotional health of the team or any one single player. You didn't know the stability of the coaching or executive staff. You didn't know if one, two, or none of the superstars were going to be there. Like nothing was a given. And I feel like actually the whole summer, the people it was probably the most unfair to were everybody else on the team besides the coaches and the superstars. Right. And I think, you know, the only thing that can real in my experience now of NBA basketball is now the only thing that can fix this and cure it, besides having, again, a staff full of great sports psychologists and team therapists, is winning.
And availability.
The only thing, I'm going to say, the only thing.
Because if you're available, they have a chance to win.
Yes, but I would say my answer and my thought is the only thing at this point that can fix the messiness of what's happened with the Nets is winning, because winning in sports does cure and cover all. So if the Nets are winning, people will easily forget that this summer was just all over the place, that Katie, you know, asked for a trade. They'll compliment them on how they made it work and how they got it together, the role players that fit, and Kevin Durant, again, being talked about as the greatest player in the world, which he's absolutely a candidate for. But I think, like, yeah, player people should feel like it's going to be hard. Like, if losing happens a lot, it puts extra pressure on conversations about Nash. Does he make it through the season? How this summer went? Did the Nets have enough time to properly prepare and get ready for this year? So they definitely have put added pressure and eyeballs on themselves.
And I would say this too, Roz. We just talked about how Shaq and Kobe didn't get along or didn't hang out off the court and made it work on the court. This is a situation like that. But it's players, staff, management, like it's everybody now. Can you make it work? Can you, Steve Nash, figure out a way to make things work to win? They have to win. That's just what it is. And like you said, will he make it to All-Star break? Like, because of this, right. I mean, it's just like they have a lot of eyeballs.
I would love to see the Nets have the ability to have a full season of continuity. So even if they did move Nash halfway through the season, that's just another part of the story of they've never really been able, since the beginning of the KD and Kyrie era, to put together a normal season. Like, every single thing that could possibly go wrong, that you could even imagine to go wrong, has. Like, there's literally been no fans, a literal global pandemic, like, changing rosters, players in, players asking for out, injuries. Players missing, being in a state where a lack of a vaccine meant you couldn't play half the games. Like, even that, whether you agree with it or not, ended up being very consequential, clearly. And, like, you know, COVID disruptions, injury disruptions, like, we never had the chance, in their defense, to actually see this team put together a full season of hoops. And they've already kind of stepped on themselves to have a full off season right now to work on integrating everybody and Ben Simmons and for this season. They are not entering as cleanly as they could have had the chance to, you know?
And I'm going to say two things. They were one shot away from being to the finals through all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. And and you just sit back and, like, imagine if, you know, if guys were healthy. But the thing I do like, Roz, about all of this is, will Kyrie be there or not? KD asked for a trade. You see some of the videos, and if you kind of watch those videos, you see KD and Kyrie playing together. Not on different teams, on the same team. So you're seeing these guys, because KD loves to hoop, Kyrie loves to hoop, period. So you're seeing these guys do all of that, let's hoop, let's be ready for the season. So I like their mentality, regardless of how we feel about them and all of the other stuff. Basketball is their love, and they're still going to play the sport, and you're seeing they're still preparing for it. It's not like Kyrie's on one side of the country and KD's on the other side. These guys are playing together, like hooping together. So the chemistry is still there regardless of whatever happens, you know? So I like to see that.
All right, people. We're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Absolutely. And let's move along to our last topic here. It kind of felt like this summer, has been the summer of pro-am basketball, from legendary moments at Drew League all across the country. We saw NBA players playing in New York City. They've played in Seattle. Unfortunately, at Jamal Crawford's, the crossover tournament, which first I want to give Jamal, I was actually out there because I was covering WNBA playoffs, interestingly enough. The Seattle Storm were playing the Washington Mystics. It was the first round, and they were practicing in the same gym as that game was getting played. And so we happened to just be in the same building. So we were there. We saw the energy. We were literally pulling up for WNBA like playoffs practice. And there was like a zoo, a mob of people outside of this little college gym. And we're like, what is going on? And we're like, oh shoot, that's right. It's here. LeBron and them is pulling up. And first of all, Jamal is such a wonderful ambassador for the game of basketball for both men's and women's hoops. He pulled up to the women's gym and you know, showed love to the WNBA players, made sure that they were situated courtside for the game. And he's always like that. A lot of the Storm players talk about seeing Jamal and DeJounte at the games, like, and he put on for his city. He brought Isaiah Thomas, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, DeJounte Murray, pro after pro after pro. I'm not even saying everybody's name. Chet there, Paolo, the one and three top picks of the draft. Like, he brought them all to the city for free.
Trey.
For free to come and play for these fans, and did the best he could. And unfortunately, you know, Chet got hurt and injured during the game. And I will say, actually, living in LA, I've had the chance this summer to watch Chet work out against other NBA guys. There have been some private runs, and he's been going up against Joel Embiid and Kevin Durant, and he's been looking incredible. So I'm just so sad that he will miss this season-ending injury. And I guess, you know, I say all that to say, Vince, like, does this injury discourage other NBA players or the future of participating in summer pro-ams?
I say no. The mentality is different now than when it was when I was a young guy coming in. It's so many pro-ams and runs available. You know, and the reason I can say no is because Chet goes down. Next week, you see the next video. You see more video of more pros still playing. And I'm talking about in the pro-ams, not just the private pickup games in the pro-am. So I think that's just what it is right now. And my only concern is you're going to play them fine, but make recovery a priority. Make recovery a priority, because these guys are going from city to city, playing game to game to game, as you would play this many games in the NBA season. And recovery is important. And I know a lot of these young guys, you know, they do one and done. You learn what you learn in college, but the pro level is different as far as being a go-to guy, or it doesn't matter, being a professional, because of travel, play, whatever, practices, all that stuff matters. You're playing big minutes, all that stuff matters. And these guys are playing big minutes. You're playing on some of the courts are not NBA courts, and a little harder, tougher on your body. So I'm sure they do ice, but recovery is important. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as far as getting your rest as well. I mean, because, you know, you go to crossover league, you go to, you know, anywhere, you go play anywhere, you go hang out and do stuff, but you got to let your body recover, regardless of if you're an older player or a younger player. And that's the advantage a lot of the older players have to the younger generation. I'm going to say the first couple of years, because they've been around and they know how to sit down somewhere, put your feet up, get your Normatec, your game ready, get in the tub, cryo. You have all these, you know, things, mechanisms and things to your, you know, at your calling. That's what the young guys just have to know. You know, you want to be available to play all the games of the best competition, but you just have to recover, and I think that will help. Now, some of these are going to be a freak accident, and I know it makes the NBA the NBA teams cringe, and they're always concerned when their player steps on the floor, because obviously you need them for the real thing. But you know what? The one thing that the teams, I think, will say that they don't have to worry about, that they had to worry about many, many years ago, these guys are coming in shape. They're coming in shape, ready to go. Because that was the thing. It's like, training camp now, you don't have to spend all that time trying to get guys in shape the first day or two and implement your plays, your offense, your defense, all right? Because, you know, you're a former player, so you know this. When you get tired, guess what? You start forgetting and you lose your focus. But these guys are going to come in game shape already. And so it's like there again, it's another gift and a curse, because now it's not, you don't have to, like, I remember back in the day, like, hey, we have this workout regimen, you know, getting in shape, we're running off that. You don't have to have guys running on tracks and doing that stuff anymore, because they've already played 12, 15, 20 games. You know, shoot, that's the understatement. Maybe 30, 35 games, if not more, in the summer. So they're ready to go, and that's just a great, that's just great to see. So, but what comes with a lot of play is wear and tear and the risk of injury. So that's why I said recovery is so very important.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And we're pointing out like the two or three very visible moments these guys played in, you know, public games. But you're not even looking at the daily workouts they're doing with their trainers, or even the daily, I mean, these are like little exhibition, huge exhibition games. The real work and grind physically is happening, you know, multiple times a week, where these NBA guys are meeting in LA, or there's a run in New York, or there's a run happening in Miami, you know, or there's a trainer who's Chicago, got his guys together, mm-hmm. Chicago, and there's, you know, 10 NBA guys having a legit hardcore going at each other run. Like, you could get hurt there too, because they're going at 100%. And so I don't blame the injury.
Real quick,
on
I will say this, Ross. I will say this real quick before you go further with that. I want to add a nugget to that. Is the beautiful thing about playing against other NBA guys is that, you know, you go hard, but you kind of know when to back off. And the one thing when you're playing against other guys who are getting that opportunity to play against LeBron James and all of these superstars that have played, are playing, this is their opportunity. This is their opportunity. They're going to go for it. So it's just a different dynamic. So guys have to be smart as well. You know,
right. Anyway, I mean, but the injury.
No. I know. Yes. Agree.
LeBron. Against LeBron James. I'm specifically speaking about the workouts that the NBA players are doing together. Like, they could get hurt there too. Mm-hmm. In fact, there wasn't any major NBA injury this summer of an NBA player going up against a non-NBA player.
Right.
There has not been one. It was very, very visibly, you know, Chet trying to stop LeBron.
And it wasn't like LeBron hurting him also. It's just a, freak accident.
I'm just pushing back at your point. But I'm just saying, like, it wasn't either one of them. Like, it wasn't like either one was going hard at each other. But to finish what I was saying, though, is, you know, these games are important. I think they're important. Like, I hope that NBA players keep coming out. I think maybe the enforcement of stricter rules like courts preparation, or the ability to have, they weren't able to open the doors in the gym because fans were trying to come in, more security perhaps, so it was very hot in there, perhaps even fan capacity, which hurts me because I'm a real lover of, I think there's beauty in that packed gym where there's layers of people, you know, all up on each other trying to see, you know, LeBron in their hometown. Like, that to me is so dope. But at the same time, I could see the liability in that. And you look at these gyms during these highlights and you're like, that's probably a fire hazard. But like, I at the same time, I'm a hooper. Like, I'm a lover of the lore of the game. So it's hard. Programs are a fine line, but in the end, I would vote for, I still want to see them. I still want to see them happen.
And Roz, maybe down the line, as this becomes more popular, maybe some of these smaller arenas start to open up for these guys to be able to play.
Yeah.
And so then, like, now you get, arenas. Yeah. You know, some of those
But so the other side of that too, I was thinking like, yo, could, you know, for example, Jamal have held this in a different arena. But there's something special LeBron is playing here. Or if you think about New York, there's something, you know, the Gaucho Gym. Vince Carter. We could do it at Queens College, or we could go to St. John's or something and do it at a major arena. But Vince Carter's at the Gaucho Gym. Legendary. Right.
No, I agree with that. Legendary. I agree with that.
You know? But anyway, we've been all over the place in this show, Vince. It's always wonderful to hang out with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And once again, thank you to everyone who's been subscribing and listened to the VC show faithfully. We love it. Like we said in the song, your family now. Kick your feet up every week. Listen to VC and Roz talk our stuff. We appreciate you, and we out. Let's go.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.